China's surveillance technology is powerful, pervasive, and spreading outside China. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. Earlier this month, the Commerce Department blacklisted 28 Chinese companies, including a handful of AI and security startups, over human rights concerns. In Hong Kong, protesters have used umbrellas and face masks to avoid surveillance cameras and pulled down what they thought was an internet-equipped lamppost to avoid being spied on. Cameras, artificial intelligence, and databases of personal information are used in China to shame debt holders, track down dissidents, and assign people a sort of social credit score based on their activities. And this is big business. A global think tank recently reported that China has exported AI surveillance tech to at least 63 countries. Jennifer Pack is Marketplace's China correspondent. I asked her to describe the daily surveillance.
If I walk to work, which is less than half an hour walk, I pass by dozens of cameras at every intersection, pointing in all different ways. And some of them are equipped with artificial intelligence. So there are certain intersections in the downtown core where they have these screens that try to identify people who are trying to jaywalk. And within moments, you could get a trafficking ticket straight to your cell phone.
How far could that go in terms of how the government uses this information?
Well, that's really the unknown. In 2006, when I first arrived in Beijing, I needed my passport to sign up for the internet, to get onto the train. Mm-hmm. But in 2015, when I returned in the southern city of Shenzhen, already the rules had changed drastically. So now I need my passport to buy a SIM card. In Beijing, when we went to a hotel, suddenly you need your passport or your ID just to get onto their Wi-Fi. Your social media feeds like WeChat and all of your mobile payments, they require what they call real ID registration. So I need my passport there as well. So all of that is tied together. How much of that information is centralized that they can automatically connect also depends on how badly the authorities want to get at you.
You know, China's surveillance apparatus is often held up as sort of a what could happen in the United States. And I wonder, from your perspective, having lived both places, do you think that anything at that level could actually occur in the United States, whether it's the social credit system or cameras everywhere?
Let's say Americans are for it. I think it would take a long time to build. The social credit system that they're talking about, the time frame that they were giving to people was 2020. 2020 is supposed to be just for a basic infrastructure.
Right.
So even though they have a lot of offline data, it's going to take a long time to upload. And don't forget, there are different competing interests within China. Although a lot of the leaders here like to present themselves as a unified voice, in actuality, as you mentioned, it's a massive country. So that's why, you know, when people think, oh, it's coming right now, it hasn't arrived yet to the same degree as people are imagining, but it doesn't mean that it can't.
Jennifer Pack is Marketplace's China correspondent. She sent us some photos of cameras on her daily commute. You can see those at marketplacetech.org. And now for some related links. Just last week, Chinese surveillance giant Hikvision said it may lose business because of the U.S. ban on its technology and on U.S. companies doing business with Chinese companies as a result of the trade war. But USA Today had a story last week as well about how Chinese surveillance tech is still being snapped up in countries that already have poor records on human rights, like Serbia, Turkey, Russia, and a bunch of others. And in addition to human rights concerns in those countries, security experts have pointed out that China's government can compel Chinese companies to hand over data that they collect with their cameras or networking equipment. So that leads to concerns about Beijing's power, both in data and potential influence. Not for nothing, in our interview, Jennifer Pack also mentioned that the huge databases of information about every Chinese citizen could be a massive boon to companies developing artificial intelligence there, since it can be hard for companies in places like the U.S. to come by data sets that big to help train their machines. This is a tearful episode, isn't it? I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.